good to see you guys again. It's been too long. So we had talked about, up until this point, the din of Chal of Yisrael and Chal of Akum. We had a whole discussion about that. We already had a little bit of an introduction to Gvinas Akum. We mentioned that the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah on Daf Chof Tes on the Beis teaches us the din of Gvinas Akum. And we mentioned that it wasn't really clear what the reason for the Yisr for Gvinas Akum was. And the Gemara even brings down like five different reasons for the prohibition. We mentioned, like for example, one reason brought down in the Gemara is that maybe the concern was that maybe the Goyim would use stomach lining for rennet, which is basically the stomach lining of a nevela. And the cheese would be basically the geder nevela. It would be considered from a dead animal that wasn't shechted properly. And the cheese would therefore be not kosher, it didn't avail. And we mentioned over there that if that's true, so we need to deal with two questions. Number one, it's a very small amount of stomach lining that they use when they trigger the making of the cheese. What should normally be the din when you have a very small amount of isser? It's about the b'shishim. And number two, if we are going to be machshiv this nevela rennet, so how do you make kosher cheese? If you use glatt kosher stomach lining, so then you can have glatt kosher kosher v'chol of cheese. So how do you get out of that one? So we're going to get to that today. Then we brought down other reasons that were mentioned in the Gemara. The Gemara mentioned that they used to cover the cheese with non-kosher fat. There was a concern that maybe the snakes would deposit their venom in the milk when they were making the cheese. There was a concern that they were using stam yinam. There was a concern that maybe they really did use pig's fat. All different sorts of reasons brought up. Okay, so at this point, I want to jump into what is the real reason. I mean, at least according to the Rishonim. What is the real reason for the Yisr? So it's a machlokas between the Rambam and Rabbeinu Tam. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Macholos Asuros, Per Gimel, Halacha Yud Gimel, he says that the real reason is the concern for Nevelos. That the non-Jews, we don't watch, we don't supervise, so the non-Jews maybe will put in non-kosher rennet. You know, stomach lining from a nevela, and that will make the cheese into nevela. That's what the Rambam says. Rabbeinu Tam has a very different approach. You're going to be shocked. You can hear, what's the big problem, says Rabbeinu Tam? The big problem, says Rabbeinu Tam, is, and if you want to look it up, Rabbeinu Tam is in Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed Hei Amud Aleph. Rabbeinu Tam says the big problem is that maybe the snakes deposited their venom in the milk because they didn't cover the non-Jews would not cover the vats properly, and this is a regular din that we have in general Chazal that maguli, and if it's water that's magula, yain magula, different types of mashkim that are magulim, they were opened up and they were never covered overnight, so maybe a snake deposited venom. That's what Rabbeinu Tam says. So how do we paskin l'halacha? Do we paskin like the Rambam or like Rabbeinu Tam? So the Shulchan Aruch in Yoredeya, Simen Kuf Tes Vav, says the halacha is like the Rambam. So we're concerned about the non-kosher rennet that they use, the stomach lining of a nevela. Okay. So let's, according to the Rambam and the Psak halacha. Okay. So let's deal with this Psak. The concern is the rennet, the stomach lining of an nevela. So we raised two problems. We said, number one, it should be bought the b'shishim. And number two, if it's not bought the b'shishim, if we're machshivit, we do say that this is something we should consider, well then how do you make kosher cheese? So the Rambam deals with this problem. And other Rishonim also do. So let me first start with the Rambam's approach. The Rambam discusses this in Hilchos Ma'acholos Asuros, Perek Gimel Halacha Yud Gimel, and he says that there's a halacha that a lot of people are not familiar with, And it's an exception to the rule of bittul b'shishim. What's this exception? Yeah? So adding, you're having to write that milsa David the taima is an exception, but that's not the case here. That's not the exception here. The exception here is that the rennet, the stomach lining, is a davar hamaimed. It's called a davar hamaimed. It gives body to the cheese. It triggers the formation of the of this block of cheese. It builds the cheese. There's actually some discussion in Maseches Beitza in some Mishonim that there might be an Isser Daraisa to make cheese on Shabbos called Megavein because of bona that you're building. So then there's a discussion. Maybe it should be Mutter on Yontif, like on Shabbos, I'm sorry, it should be also because of bona. So then there's a whole discussion, maybe on Yontif it should be Mutter because of Ochel Nefesh. And then some say, well, let's say you don't have a house, and you want to eat, and it's a very hot day, or it's raining on Yontif. Can you build a house, the Tzarech Ochel Nefesh, on Yontif, so you can eat inside your house? A whole other discussion. There's a discussion like this in Tosfos. But in any event, Davar HaMaimed means that it gives integrity and substance to the item. It forms the cheese. And therefore, it's kosher. It's indispensable. Basically, the small amount of rennet is indispensable. You can't say that, it's insignificant. It's been bittul b'shishim. What do you mean it's insignificant? How can you call it bittul b'shishim? It's indispensable. It created the entire formation of the cheese. So that's what the Rambam says. The Rambam says, and this is how we pass in the halacha, that a davar ha-maimed is ainu bittul b'shishim. And that's why gelatin is an issue. If it's not kosher gelatin, then it creates a problem for cheeses, for ice creams, and all sorts of other things. Okay. That's the Rambam. The Rambam says davar ha-maimed solves the problem of bittul b'shishim. Bittul b'shishim doesn't apply here because it's a davar ha-maimed. All the Rishonim, like the Ramban and the Rashba, give a very surprising answer. You could look it up in the Magid Mishnah on the Hilchos Machalos Aseres Perikim Malachi Yivimah. The Magid Mishnah quotes the Ramban and the Rashba, which gives a whole other approach to Gvinas Akum, which really relates. If you remember when we talked about Cholav Akum, we raised the problem as well. But the Magid Mishnah says, according to the Ramban and the Rashba, what's the reason? He says the Ramban and the Rashba say, let's just say for a moment that the rennet would be bottle b'shishim. It would be nullified. The Ramban the Rashba says, it doesn't make a difference. Because Chazal had an agenda. They wanted to create a social barrier between Jews and non-Jews. And the reasons brought down in the Gemara are basically excuses. They're not the real reason. The real reason is Chazal were out to forbid these things, and that's it. Chazal wanted it to be usur. You want to solve it with bittul b'shishim? It doesn't make a difference. It's not going to help. Gvinas Akum is not kosher because Chazal wanted to create this barrier. Okay. Now, let's get back to the Rambam for a second. The Rambam said that the reason why we're not worried about bittul b'shishim solving the problem and making the cheese kosher, because it's a davar ha-maimed, right? So wait a second. How do we make kosher cheese? If I put in glatt kosher rennet, glatt kosher stomach lining, so it's also not going to be bittul b'shishim, and you're going to say davar ha-maimed, and I have, as we said, glatt kosher basav v'chalav. I mean, it's not. I mean, it'll be glatt basav v'chalav, not kosher. It'll be totally awesome. It'll be also lamahadrim. So what's the explanation? So there's another Rambam. This Rambam is found in Hilchos Macholos Aseros, Perek Tes, Halacha Tes Zayin. And he has this problem. He has this question. It's Hilchos Macholos Aseros, Perek Tes, Halacha Tes Zayin. So the Rambam asks the same question. He says, why don't we say that the cheese is also midin basa b'chalav? So he quotes a masorah that he has from his father's Rebbe, the Rimagash. The Rambam actually views the Rimagash, I don't know if you're familiar with this, but the Rambam views the Rimagash as his Rebbe, even though he never really learned by the Rimagash. But his father did learn by the Rimagash, and the Rimagash's Torah, through his father, heavily influenced the Rambam himself. So the Rambam always views the Rimagash as his Rebbe, and the Rambam quotes the Rimagash as follows. When do we say that a Dover HaMaimed is Eino Batel B'Shishim? When are we so machmir about this Dover HaMaimed? When the Dover HaMaimed was already a Dover Isser Milech Avchila. No, it's from the outset, it was an Isser. Like the Nevela. If I take rennet, which is from a non-kosher animal, the stomach lining of a non-kosher animal, this item that I'm holding is Dover Isser. So if I want to maybe mevatel it, if I want to nullify it in 60, it won't work because I'm starting with something that already is osur, and it's going to be a maimed. But in the case of a basa b'chalav, where I have glat kosher meat, let's say glat kosher rennet. So the rennet that I'm holding in my hand, what is it? Is it isur or heter? Heter. So if I put heter into heter, right? Basar is heter, chalav is heter, I put them together. So there, I will say it's batel b'shishim, even if it's a davar ha-maimed.
I always assume that batel b'shishim was something like a good accident.
Ah, very good question.
Seems like we're
very, very, very good question. So, what he's raising is another problem. He's saying, we normally paskim, aim mevatel nisa l'chatchilo. So, what do we, like, when we say aim mevatel nisa l'chatchilo, what do we mean usually? Let's say I have chazer, and I want a mevatel l'chishim. So, do we say aim mevatel nisa l'chatchilo with heter into heter, like basar into chok? So, the din is we do apply. We also say, even by Basav Chalav. So let's first start with we did solve the problem of Davar HaMaimed, right? We don't say Davar HaMaimed in this case because it is Batel B'Shishim. But it's also to do. In other words, Eino Batel Nisa L'Chatchila doesn't mean that there is no Bittel. The Bittel works. It's just also to do this. So now the question we're raising is, how could a Jewish cheese manufacturer put in this kosher rennet, this kosher stomach lining, into the milk? It will be batel, because even though it's a maimed, it's batel b'shishim because it was heter to begin with. But isn't this Jewish manufacturer still violating halacha? He's violating eim avatlanis l'chatchila. No, the bittel will work. But how can he do it? That's the problem. That's Gabriel's question. So the Shach asks Gabriel's question. There's a Shach in Yerodea that discusses this in Simon Pei Zayin. The Rabbi Kivager discusses this. Gabriel really hit the jackpot. If you want to look at Rabbi Kivager is in Sheilos V'Tshuvos Siman Reish Zayin. It's in Siman Reish Zayin. So Rabbi Kivager basically says, he quotes many poskim, the Pesachei Tshuva quotes many poskim, also in Siman Pei Zayin, as follows. We don't say Eim Mevatel Nisa L'Chatchila if two factors are present. Okay, if two things are true, there is no prohibition of Ein Mevatel Nisa L'Chatchila. What are these two glorious factors that you need? So number one, the item that you want to be Mevatel has to be what's called Kosher Ke'etz. It has to be hard. It has to be something that's really, I don't know if it's inedible, but it's difficult to eat. Okay, it's not typically viewed as food. Number two, it has to be something that will not be no same tam. It's not no same tam. If it doesn't give a taste, then we don't say aim of atlanisakhatil. So again, both factors have to be true. You're talking about something that fundamentally is already borderline, is not really considered food because it's kashka, it's hard like wood. And number two, it's not no same tam. So this rennet, the stomach lining that they're putting into the cheese, what is the story? Is it soft or is it kashka? It's kashka. Okay, it's hard like wood. You wouldn't chew on it. It's not something you could really eat. And number two, it's not no same tam. And therefore, we say that there's no prohibition of aim of atlanis lechatchil.
Where does this liver come from?
How does the shach know this?
Yeah.
He just says misvara. He says, what's the problem of aim of atlanis lechatchil? Why would a person want? No, aim of atlanis lechatchil is an isadrabanan. It's not an isadrabanan. Why would Chazal say that they don't want you mevatel? So what would a person do this for? See, right, to add taste. You know, if a person wants a little chazer in his cholin, you know, what would that taste like? So so he'll put in less than shishim. So we say no, you can't do that. Aim mevatel is lechatchil. But if it's kosher ke'eitz, already it's not really considered food anymore, and it's not nosin tam. So then, what motivation would a person have except to create cheese? But that it's not fundamentally adding. I don't know. I don't taste the tarfus. So we allow the natural isser daraisa to be operative and neutralize the isser. Because we really don't care. There is the din daraisa. It's batal. We just don't want people going around doing this on purpose to taste
taste chazer in their chalk.
Okay. Now there's another solution that's brought down by the Aruch HaShulchan. Okay, we mentioned this was Rav Kibbeh. The Aruch HaShulchan, this is in Yoredeya, Simon Pei Zayin. This is Sif Mem Gimel. He says there's another. Is it siruf? Some people are a little more machmir, and they do the following: they'll put in stomach lining from a kosher animal that's meshechted properly, and they'll use other binding or other maimed type of stuff. Okay, there's certain liquids that you could use to create cheese. There are other items that can be used to generate cheese. Why would that help? Huh? What? I mean, maybe this is what you mean. The Aruch HaShulchan refers to something that's called Zeveze Garim. It's an unbelievable. It's like magic almost. What does it mean Zeveze Garim? Zeveze Garim means if I put two things into this milk to make cheese, both of them on their own can make cheese. I don't need both of them. Each one on their own can make the cheese. Which one made the cheese when I put both in? Maybe they work together, maybe they work independently, maybe one worked the other. We're allowed, if we put both in, to say, you know which one really did it? The kosher one. It's called Zeveze Garim. So you can't do that in all cases, but we'll do this with the kosher rennet. That's what we do. So they'll in addition to the Rambam, they throw in Zeveze Garim so that you're covered in all senses. And this is what the Ramal Paskins in Yoredeya and in Pezayin. That's what they generally try to do. Yeah.
Going back to the
it's Yoredeya and Pezayin if you're Aleph.
Going back to the Kasha Kamitz idea. What if, in the final product, the cheese and the gelatin or whatever that's in the cheese is no longer kosher kayets?
That doesn't make a difference. The point is, what you put in, if that's kosher kayets. Right. Right.
Yeah. Why does the fact that the rennet is the Ren is changing the milk into cheese help us. I mean, how does that solve a problem? I don't,
how does it solve which problem?
So how does
Zeb Zegorim? No, because when I'm putting in the kosher rennet,
right.
So the question is, isn't it Emev Atlanis Lechatchila, and I'm using this?
Right.
No, but the answer is, maybe I didn't use it. Maybe it didn't, maybe the kosher stomach lining didn't actually make the cheese.
So this only helps from when you put in other like liquids to help?
Yeah, that's what Zeb Zegorim means. This and this are the cause. So really, with the Rambam, you know, with the Aruch HaShulchan's explanation, with the Rav Kiviger's explanation alone, we could be okay. Okay, but in addition, we have the Aruch HaShulchan's. A lot of people do both, to be outside the Chohadah.
What's the other
ingredients? I don't know, they have different curdling.
Such a solver.
They have other ingredients, I don't know. There's a whole range of stuff that they could use. Okay,
but it's also meat, right? It's still
no. The other agent is not the non meat.
Why even put it in there at all?
Because they know that it helps. That's why I said it's like a little bit like magic.
Drink is the other ingredient, won't do it alone.
It will.
Why even put in there?
It will. It may not be the same quality, but it'll curdle it in terms of the mean mime. But the final product, that's what I'm saying. It's a very tricky. A little bit of like you put it in and it works. Yeah.
Does Zeb Zegorim still stand if we actually know for sure which one caused the solidification? Because like we could tell by the activation energy, we could tell by the spontaneity of the reaction which actually caused it. So
right.
It still helps.
That's what I'm saying. When I said that, it's sort of a little bit like it's like this panacea, you know, it's a cure all.
Does it matter when you put it in? Like,
yeah, at the
put
time.
It in at the same
the
time.
Yeah, exactly. Put it at the same time. Yeah. You have to put it together.
Can't put it in like 20 seconds later. Maybe
well,
later.
I guess if you put it in together, I mean, probably have to put it in before the curdling takes effect, because that's the key.
Okay.
So around the same time, right? It doesn't have to be exact moment, but before the curdling takes effect. Okay, now, what would be the. Yeah.
Is that a rennet, right, like that color?
I think it would be. Depending, in other words, Bizman Hazeh, it's not, but it used to be. Bizman Hazeh, what they do is it's fully desiccated, what they say. In other words, it's like dried out, ground into powder, even a dog wouldn't eat it. But I think the original rennet would be Roy Lachilas Kalam. Even though it's kosher, but it's still, it has the din of kosher ke'etz, and it's not Nosin Tan. But today, we go even further, which we'll talk about. Now, let's say the reason for the Isser would not apply. Let's say I can create a situation where the reason for Gvinas Akum would not apply. So remember, what were the reasons for Gvinas Akum? The Rambam says, because maybe the Goyim will put in Nevela, right? The Nevela stomach lining. And Rabbeinu Tam said, what was the reason? That maybe the snake venom maybe the snake will put in their venom. So let's start with this question again. Let's say I can create a case where the reason would not apply. So Rabbeinu Tam, and Bali Tosfos very often say this, not all Bali Tosfos, but some do. They take this approach that where the reason doesn't apply, we make them. And Rabbeinu Tam says that in this particular case. Rabbeinu Tam says that if the reason does not apply, this is in Avodah Zarah Daf Lamed Hay. So if the reason for Gvinas Akam doesn't apply, then we can be Mekel. And then he brings down Halacha L'maisa. He says, Bizman Hazeh, do we have snakes putting venom into open vats of liquid? He says, no. He says, we don't really have that problem. So therefore, he said that he believes it should be mutter to have Gvinas Akam Bizman Hazeh, because the whole reason for Gvinas Akam was because of the snake venom. But we're not worried that the snakes are going to be depositing the venom. We're just not worried about this. And then Rabbeinu Tam says, in fact, he says the Gaonim of Narbonne in France, southern France, were actually Mekel. They ate the cheese made by non-Jews because it was known in Narbonne that the way the cheese was made by non-Jews was dafka through non-animal rennet. It was known. They did not use the stomach lining of a of animals. They used other types of curdling agents. They were like vegetarian curdling agents, and it was not. That's what they did. That was just the method. So the Gaonim of Narbonne would eat cheese created by non-Jews, produced and manufactured by non-Jews, and they weren't worried about the snake venom, because they hold that there was no concern. Then Rabbeinu Tam says, but we...
So that would be with non-kosher venom, or still with kosher venom?
No, that's only with kosher venom. You know, if you know that they're using kosher venom, meaning they used some type of vegetarian curdling agent. So there's nothing wrong with that. And they knew that was what was used. So the Gaonim of Narbonne said, what about, but it's still a gzera. They said the gzera doesn't apply because they're only worried about the snake's venom. But Rabbeinu Tam didn't live in southern France. Rabbeinu Tam lived in northern France. And in northern France, the Goyim, when they made cheese, they didn't use vegetarian curdling agents. It was very normal, not all the time, but it was very normal for them to use actual stomach lining of the animal. So it would be nevela. So Rabbeinu Tam says, we who live in northern France, we can't rely on the Gaonim of Narbonne in Minastam, because there's a real concern that the Goyim were using, it's not midin takana, it's not because of the takana of Gvinas Akum. Rabbeinu Tam's not worried about the takana of Gvinas Akum, because the whole takana was because of the snakes. Rabbeinu Tam's not worried about that. What he's really worried about is that there's no hashkacha, if there's no mashkiach, then what's going to happen? Very, very shy if that the cheese that you're eating was made with animal rennet.
So Rabbeinu Tam say in a case where you know there's vegetarian,
right?
But there are still this chashash of snakes exists.
He was willing to be mekel. He said, then you can go ahead.
Even if you're using non-animal rennet, but there's still the chashash of snakes, you would say.
If there was a chashash of snake venom,
because he's quoting a story that's not parallel to his own.
It has to be a case where there aren't. No, if it was a locale that had snakes depositing the venom, then Rabbeinu Tam said, then the gzera applies again.
But isn't he quoting a story that's not parallel to, isn't he quoting a reason that's not parallel to his, to what he said? He said that the problems are going on so much for using vegetarian venom. He said the reason for the tukana is because of the
venom. Well, in southern France, they didn't have snakes depositing their venom. And furthermore, they didn't have to worry about actual kashrus issues. Forget the tukana now. They didn't have to worry about nevela. Because they didn't.
What would Rabbeinu Tam say in a case where there are no snakes, but you're not sure about the rennet? Are you? Or do we have
then he would say the takana doesn't apply, okay. But you still can't eat it because you don't know. You're maybe actually eating non-kosher food, but not eating takana of Gvinas Akum. He's just saying common sense would dictate that you can't eat it because it's maybe actually maybe it's actual nevela. But as chiddush would be, if you knew that it wasn't nevela, then you would be able to eat it, like the Gaonim of Narbonne. Now the Rambam in Hilchos Machalos Asuros, Perek Gimel, Halacha Yud Dalid, disagrees with Rabbeinu Tam. He said even though the takana, even though the reason for the takana should not apply, nonetheless we got to be machmir. And the Rambam quotes, he says some Gaon, he doesn't say which Gaon, but he says some Gaonim held that, let's say I know for sure that they're using vegetarian curdling agents. Let's say I know that. The Rambam says, according to these Gaonim, we still have to be machmir because of the takana. What was the reason for the takana? Maybe they're using the veil. That was in the Rambam's view. Maybe they're using the veil. Rambam says it doesn't make a difference. Even if I know that they're not using animal curdling agents, they're using vegetarian curdling agents, it doesn't make a difference. We have to be mach. And it seems the Rambam doesn't disagree with this. So it really seems that that's how the Rambam paskins. If you look in the Magid Mishnah on that Rambam, what's the reason for the Rambam? So do you guys remember we've talked about this? I mentioned this to you. There's a Gemara in Beitza and Daf Pei Omer Aleph that talks about Dovah Shebeminyan. That there were certain takanos, probably most takanos, that they were made in such a way, they were designed in such a way, that the time of the takana, the reason for the takana, was was separate and distinct from the actual takon itself. And even if the reason does not apply anymore, the takana still lives. We say, batel tam, lo batel gzero. That's the famous command in Beit Zedav Heh. So the Rambam says, that din, this din of Gvinas Akum is a davar shebeminyan din, and therefore, even if the reason doesn't apply, we have to be machmir. So how do we passman, like Rabbeinu Tam or the Rambam, with regard to this takana? So the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, this is in Yoredeo, Simen Kuf Tes Vot, Sitbeis, Demachim, like the Rambam. The Shulchan Aruch, again, the Mechaber and the Ramah both say that where the, even though the reason doesn't apply in certain cases, doesn't make a difference, we have to be Machmir, and we cannot eat the cheese. The one thing that the Ramah does concede is that he says, let's say you come from a community that has a Mesorah from the Gaonim of Narbon. You're part of that family. So then the Ramah says, you can be Someach on your Mesorah. Rav Yosef Karo says, you shouldn't do it, even if you have a Mesorah from the Gaonim of Narbon, you still shouldn't do it. He really, really doesn't like it. But the Ramah was willing to be more makel if you have a special Mesorah. That's what the Ramah writes. It's just interesting that if you look in later poskim, like the Chochmas Adam and the Aruch HaShulchan, right, the Ramah is writing in the 1500s. The Chochmas Adam and the Aruch HaShulchan are already in the 1800s. So in the 1800s, the Chochmas Adam and the Aruch HaShulchan say we machmir, and they don't mention anything about a Mesorah from the Gaonim of Narbon. Why do you think? The Pavli wasn't any more, the Mesorah Pavli was gone. By that time, it was probably gone. So it became very wide. You can see, just in terms of development, it became completely and totally widespread that Gvinas Akum is prohibited, even where the Tam doesn't apply, and the Mesorah of the Gaonim of Narbon apparently had been lost upon the communities.
Could you say that we needed all these solutions to make it okay for us to eat kosher rennet with the milk to make cheese out of that? Would you say we're almost better off eating the vegetarian rennet?
So as not to rely on these heterium
right.
of
yeah.
the...
We just kind of roundabout the whole process.
But if you're saying the Rambam's Chiddush of... Of davar ma'amid not applying if it's kosher milchatchila and that
right
that's a bother you.
It seems like almost like we're being lachmir on vegetarian. We know it's vegetarian rennet, but we're allowing stuff we say is okay, but we had to go through a whole process to make it okay. It's almost like we're
right. Well, listen. I mean, the halacha is the halacha. You know, one thing I think I said this before. When you learn your idea. So of course you're going to see certain things were also that you didn't realize before. But for the most part, you're going to learn things like, what? That's actually kosher? Like, that's usually what goes through your mind. If you hear that something is also, you're usually less surprised. When you find out so many things are kosher or really in principle okay, you never would have believed when you learn through your day. And Shabbos, and Hilchah Shabbos is the exact opposite. Hilchah Shabbos. That's also... Oh my gosh! Right, you know, but in your day, it's the exact opposite. You know, like you find out that most of us, you know, are much more machmir than fundamentally we need. No, it's la halacha. The minhag is to be more machmir, and that is the minhag. But at a base level, at a fundamental level, we're actually there's much more room to be made of, you know, shasat chak and things like that. So that's what we're really operating on. But if it makes you feel any better, the cheese today is microbial. Rennet. It's not animal rennet.
Where was the Shulchan Aruch in the Ramah found that you just quoted?
Oh, it's in Kuf Tesvav Sif Beis. Now, let me just mention one thing. I have to actually end a little bit early, but the significance of this psak l'chumra, that even when the reason for the takana of gvinas akum does not apply, we're still machmir, is very important, because as I mentioned today, in the cheese making industry, for the most part, they don't use any longer stomach lining. They use this microbial rennet, or they use, if they do use actual stomach lining, they completely reduce it to powder that is ein roi l'achilas kelev. So if it's ein roi l'achilas kelev already, it's like dirt. It's just dirt. It's like you're putting dirt into your cheese, into your milk. So there's no dirt. I mean, no one says dirt is kosher or not kosher. It's dirt. So that's what they're putting into the into the cheese, at least into the cheese making process. So the time of the takana actually probably does not apply today, almost across the board. And nonetheless, the din is that it's also, because we paskin like the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, and the widespread minhag is across the board against the Gaonim of Narbon, that if the time of the takana does not apply, that's it. The takana still is in place, and we're machmir. Okay, so that explains. Now you can understand why I obviously from Jews would only eat cheese that has a heksher on it because of this problem of the takana of Venus cycle. Okay, so what I want to do is I'm going to have to stop here. I'm sorry, but for God willing, next week we'll pick up this topic on Tuesday. I want to discuss with you what is required to be makil. If there's a non-Jew that has a cheese making factory, and he approaches you and he says, "Listen, I want to make kosher cheese. I want to sell cheese to the Jewish public. What do I need to do?" What would we tell him? Okay, how can a non-Jew make kosher cheese based on all the takanas that we mentioned? So we're going to discuss that next week. And I also want to discuss with you what about soft cheeses, like cream cheese and cottage cheese. What's the din there? What about yogurts? Does Venus Akum apply there? I want to also talk about butter, Chemas Akum. So we'll discuss all that, God willing, on Tuesday. I guess you guys have a good Shabbos. Okay, I think there's a shir. Who's going to be shir at 6:15? Okay. I'm sorry. I have to.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Just because I didn't get the shir.